It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. If you do, if you don't, your first time, well, you're in for a ride. I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
I want a sandwich.
You want a sandwich? We're talking sandwiches today? Somehow we'll spend an hour talking about sandwiches. But
technically
that's okay.
38 minutes.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's not nearly enough.
Oh,
I bet you Conrad could do 30 on a sandwich.
Sure. Yeah, well, if we got his wife on the line, we could do 38.
Hey, he makes his own sandwiches.
Are you kidding me?
A little sourdough, a little Miracle Whip.
Look at there.
Yeah.
Okay, so he has sourdough and Miracle Whip sandwiches.
Well, all you need to do is throw some nice, thick, homegrown tomatoes on there, and you got a great sandwich.
Oh, yeah. I might put a piece of cheddar on there,
I love me some tomato sandwiches midsummer when the tomatoes are coming in out of the garden.
Yep. Big and ripe and warm.
The sun had
them all warmed up.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Fried green tomatoes?
No. I'm
out. I've never tried it.
They're a little sour.
Man.
I've never tried it.
Favorite. They're so good. You put a little sweet, a little dip on them. A little something to sweeten them up a little bit, yeah.
Well, you know what a prepper I'm turning into.
Yeah. Right.
If you saw how many potato plants I've put in the ground, you would be proud.
You're going to live on...
Or shocked.
You're going to live on taters.
Well...
They store well.
They do. And if nothing else, I've got kids, and, my neighbor is like this phenomenal horticulturalist. I don't know what kind of degree he's got. His is in plants and his wife's is in trees or vice versa. They're both MSU grads. And you should see this guy's garden. I sneak over there about every afternoon now if I'm home and just look at his garden, and he comes out and gives me a little 5-minute tutorial. Yeah. I'm learning.
You got to watch out for rabbits and Bob.
Right, in your garden.
Wabbits.
You're not sure which one's going to eat more? But it depends on the season.
He's got these two giant dogs, and one of them likes to bite me.
Yeah?
Very aggressive.
Yeah. There go
the
rabbits.
I've just about got his confidence.
They're trained to keep people out of the garden.
He's just nipping the hand now when I put it out.
Yeah, right.
They're big. They're like your doodle thing.
Yeah. They're trained assassins.
Yeah. Yeah, like we've got on our college campuses right now.
Well,
what do you think of that?
We're watching that.
Everywhere.
And it's the problem that I have with it. Freedom of speech is one thing, but organizing and blocking people from going to school is another. And then if I thought it was just students, you don't think it's spontaneous? Right. If I thought it was just students, I might turn a little bit of a blind eye, but this thing's organized and got corporate money behind it. And I don't know any of that to be fact. That's just my gut.
They look a lot like the people that burnt the country about it 4 years ago.
Yeah.
What's happening in a few months?
Right. Yeah.
It's kind of like the same thing.
Yep. I don't know.
They get paid to do that, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's
by somebody.
It's a good gig. Yeah. I've heard some contract numbers.
Yeah. I'm out. I'm not shopping for that job.
Oh.
But
no, it's too bad though. I mean,
it is.
They're ruining graduations for a bunch of kids,
right? And finals.
Schools don't want to have graduations now
because it's
too bad.
We could go on all day.
I know
this is a Grilling Guys, but anyway, it is too bad. It is too bad. And they were asking for food, and maybe they need a sandwich. Maybe things would just be a lot better if they ate some good
Segway comes through again.
Very nice.
Be all better. I know what I'm getting you for Christmas.
Right.
It's a Segway.
No, I never ride it. I don't think they're no fun to ride.
I saw a wonderful video of a young fella on a. It's not a Segway, but it's like these skateboards with one wheel in the middle.
Yeah.
And he's got a beatbox and a little amp, and he's singing a very popular song about clap your hands. But he's doing a really good job.
Showing your age, Bob.
And this Karen is running next to him the whole while, bitching at him. And she runs to the police, and the police start clapping along. She's so angry. Yeah. This kid was really cool. And the people, it's like a fruit market or something, a giant flea market festival. And this kid's making everybody happy except Karen.
Yeah.
So whatever happened to just turning a turning away and say, you know what, I don't like that, but I don't have to make a point of that.
It's,
I mean,
this entitled people that we're raising is a group of people that just feels like they have to correct your speech and they have to correct your, you know, oh, you know, wrong pronouns or all this stuff. And it's like, take a breath, take a walk.
Right.
Take a walk.
Just ignore it and move on. Go about your day. They'll go about theirs. And then, you know, the media.
My thing is whenever there's a commercial on, I'm watching the Tigers or whatever, and it says, get what you deserve. Or you deserve. Anytime they say that, it makes me think of people that are
entitled.
Karens. Entitled. Yeah. You're entitled to significant
compensation. You know what you deserve? Nada.
Yeah, you got to go earn it.
You're lucky you're here today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because
you could have been hit by a truck, or you could have died at birth, or, you know, from who knows what, hunger, famine.
So I fired up the pizza oven for the first time in the spring. It had been probably a month or two since we'd got her going, cleaned it all up, and fired it up, and damn if it don't work good still.
So, nice.
I made a, you know, my daughter-in-law's father, so I don't know what you call him. My daughter-in-law's father, I guess, is what it is. Jan Han owns a bakery, and Jan makes
We call them outlaws.
Right. Okay, well then, my outlaw makes me these pizza crusts, which are like flatbread, and he bakes them for like a minute or two. So when I put them in the pizza oven, about 90 seconds, they're done, and all the toppings are melted and hot, and that's great.
You're trying not to burn it.
Right, yeah, trying not to burn the bottom of it.
Do you have to spin that pizza around?
Yeah, two or three times.
Okay.
Because the flame's in the back of the oven.
Let's see your knuckles.
Right? No, I'm good.
Oh, there's no hair.
No, I got the tools. Hairy knuckles. That's because they're dragging on the ground, Bob. The hair's all gone. But anyway, we toyed around with different things, and I had some somewhat spicy barbecue sauce, and I made a pizza with, it was cooked
pulled
chicken.
Pork?
No, I did it with chicken.
Okay.
Jalapeno, red onion, and that a little bit heated barbecue sauce, and then
kind of a
the mozzarella.
Kind of an open quesadilla.
Yeah, but it was a barbecue chicken pizza is what I called it, and holy cow, was that good.
Nice.
The heat and the sweet was just right. And the
heat, the sweet, the meat.
Yeah, it was all good. I mean, but I know later in the show we're gonna talk about a sandwich, and we're going to talk to our buddy T-Git again 2 weeks in a row. He's a popular dude this time of year, but I used his Cajun seasoning on the chicken. I grilled skinless, boneless thighs and put a pretty liberal coating of that extra Cajun that he's developed on it, and that added a little bit of zip to the chicken, and I diced it up in little pieces before I put it on the pizza. You can't put raw chicken on one of those pizzas. It'll never, ever cook.
No.
Before you burn everything else up. So
no.
You got to have pretty much prepared ingredients
and
when I'm
doing
that.
You're probably better off using skinless, boneless thighs because they're going to be a little more forgiving. If you use breast meat, it's probably going to dry up pretty good.
Yeah, it would have. That's why I use them. You're spot on there. And you can dice it up and keep it in the refrigerator for 4 or 5 days. And if you want to do it again the next night or whatever, you've still got the ingredients ready to roll. So...
Well, I'm trying to stay away from pizza and things like that because my pants are kind of tight.
Are they? Yeah. Well, you know, you can buy bigger pants. I'd eat pizzas.
So, you know, I've been bouncing around with these part-time jobs and playing around. And over the last couple of months, I had a headhunter get a hold of me. And I've had this dialogue.
He didn't get you. You still got one.
I've had this dialogue with this factory out of Pennsylvania for 2 months.
Amish?
And I just, I just accepted a position with them. They're called Ritz Craft.
Okay.
So I'm going to be managing Northern Michigan and the UP. So I'm hitting the road again.
Okay.
And I'm going to work full time, and I got like an exciting new gig, and I'm thrilled.
Good for you. You deserve that. You've been bouncing around a little bit the last year or so, and it's finally good to get your legs underneath you and go do something.
Yeah,
right?
Something
that
substantial.
That you like to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's... you know, good things come to those who wait. And you worked hard for that, though. I mean, it's not something that they gave you.
Thanks.
You competed for it.
No, they tortured me.
Yeah. And and all they had to do was call. I'd have told them how to do it right. But they had to figure it out themselves, I guess.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. They've got some really cool, top-notch people, and I'm excited.
All right. Well, you know what? Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit the rest of the show about something that we all do. we probably don't even talk about it much, but that's make a sandwich. I eat them every week, and we're going to tell you how to make some really good ones. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hey, this is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the body, we'll bring the smoke.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in. We did our normal BS first segment, but Barbecue Bob and I are here, and I think we want to talk a little bit about sandwiches today.
You know, and the reason this was, I guess, top of mind for me is because I've been doing a deep dive into Anthony Bourdain.
Okay.
And my daughter Emily, you know, is a big foodie. She's with the Food Network, and she's a huge fan of his, and she got me to paying attention to him a few years back when I really didn't pay much attention to him. I thought he was cool and, you know, this and that, but I started watching his old tapes and shows, and I've been noticing old articles of his and really researching what his little pearls of wisdom were. And one page I ran into just had, like, you know, a bunch of things you should do, you should know if you're serving guests. And one of the things he said is don't practice on guests.
100%.
So, you know, don't experiment with a dish if you have guests coming over.
That's right.
And it's just great advice. We've all done it. We've all tried something,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if it's a close friend, it doesn't really matter so much because they might give you a pass and they're getting a free meal anyway.
Right.
But if it's got like sauerkraut and ice cream, you might want to shy away from it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you are correct. We've all done it. And there's a few things I don't do, and that's one of them. Just because when we purport to know what we're doing when we're cooking, I mean, talking about this stuff every week like we do, I can blow it. You can blow it. Things happen.
Oh, man.
And you put just a little too much of this or that in it. And
or you get distracted.
It's not like a performance every time somebody comes over, but there's an expectation.
I think you're lying.
You know, there's an expectation. And at the end of the day, you want it to be good when they have it. So
okay. I was honest. We went to a party with Charlie at Charlie Slosher's house. And you know, you said you played around with this, and I said, well, I knew you were coming, so I had to do something special, too.
Right.
You made me up my game. And I actually did a creation, and it turned out good.
It did.
It was still, I was taking that chance, but I just thought, I'm not going to do the same old thing either.
Right.
It is kind of how grilling guys, whether you're in the show or not, all of you out there are grilling guys and grilling gals. If you're listening to the show, that's the reason you listen is because you're grilling freaks, you're fanatics, you love grilling.
Right.
And an awful lot of women and more women are getting into grilling.
Right.
And that's for various number of reasons.
So let's talk about that. We'll get to sandwiches at some point. Maybe never. Who knows? But that party reminds me, I brought in what I called pork belly burnt ends, my first attempt at them.
And we both took a chance.
Right. So basically what I did is I bought a pork belly, cut it into ribbons, across the belly. So they're like inch wide, and I cut them into cubes. So I had like an inch by inch cube. And I put those cubes on a pan on the smoker because I was afraid they'd fall through the grate, right? Seasoned them up and then put them on the smoker and let them smoke down for a couple hours till I figured they were done. And then I took them off, rolled them in some that apple sauce the barbecue sauce. It's an apple.
The stuff
flavor.
I made for you?
Yeah. So then I put them in that, and I put them back in the grill covered in a pan and let them cook down so they got a little tacky. But and that was something I'd never done, and I brought it to the same party that you brought that dish to. You guys were all polite and said, yeah, well, you know, they taste great, but the texture was off because the fat on the pork belly was half of every bite. And I think that what I needed to do is rather than put them on the pan with the sauce on them, I needed to put them on the grill and render some of that fat off there, because if a pork belly has a layer of protein meat, muscle meat or belly, and a layer of fat on it. And
there's all kinds of ways you can adjust things like that.
Too much fat in your mouth.
To try.
Was my problem with
it. And some people like that, some don't. One thing maybe also you can do if you're going to try that is it's the way you're trimming that pork belly.
Right.
If you know you're going to do that going in, maybe you would trim it differently. And what you have is generally two or three veins of meat and then big pieces of fat in between. I might consider separating those and trimming them down a little bit just to get rid of the fat, get it out of the way right up front. Then your smoking process could be shorter.
A lot shorter, yeah.
Because it's easy to oversmoke a pork belly.
Right.
You really don't want to. You really want the best pork belly I ever had was when you and I went to some Mexican place and these guys had pork belly tacos. And I don't know quite what they did, but I think they were very lightly deep fried and they were tender as could be.
Right.
And that was like the best pork belly I've ever had. And mm-hmm. I've been trying to replicate it and I haven't quite gotten that down, but I know what you're saying. And I think you just got to keep, this goes with my other thing here, practice and repetition makes a difference.
Yep.
And that's from Anthony Bourdain. The dude's, you know, pretty storied.
Right.
And I bet you he has plenty of pork belly stories that, yeah, you know, he wasn't.
But it's so
with.
Flavorful. You got to have some of the fat, in my opinion, because that's where you get the contrast in flavor. And the people that'll put up with a little bit of that really enjoy the flavor overall when you take, because it's one bite at a time. You're not
right.
biting it at two or three pieces.
Right.
You're popping it in your mouth or cut that size accordingly. And when that all goes together, your taste buds just explode with that. But some of them were way too fatty in my mind. So. But I did that. I broke the rule is where I'm going, is I brought something
but
that I'd never made before.
But I saw an awful lot of people eating them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it was an 8-pound pork belly, and there were 4 pounds of it in there. And we ate most of them. And, you know, my doodle and my Labrador got the rest when we got home. But
so let's do a sandwich.
Really?
This I found in this article about Anthony Bourdain. This is his favorite sandwich. It's called a mortadella sandwich.
Okay.
And if you've ever gone to a nice Italian deli, they sell a lunch meat called mortadella. And you'll see it very often in the finer meat sections. And it looks like bologna with these white specks in it.
Uh-huh.
And it's fat.
Right.
So what he does is he takes that and he flash fries each piece real quick. And he stacks it up on a sandwich. And he puts it on a bun with melted provolone. And then some honey Dijon or
ooh,
mayo.
Ooh.
And the picture of this thing, it's a 1/2 pound of meat.
Okay.
It was, Conrad, you'd love this thing.
So,
it just says bite me.
So is yeah. it a big, is bite it a me. Big round?
They, a big they make Kaiser.
But
yeah,
no, the meat.
It comes in a loaf. So
right,
it's going to
yeah.
look like bologna
right.
with a bunch of fat in it. It's
okay.
called mortadella.
Okay.
And it's very popular. I've never really cared for it because of the fat. But when I saw him frying it up, I said, I got to do that.
Yeah.
So
it's cut thin.
It's cut very thin.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like shaved prime rib, you know.
So it crisps
when you
up
do those steak sandwiches.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he didn't totally crisp up, but you could see the edges were curling a little
yeah.
bit. So
yeah.
he just flashed it enough to get it to melt that fat.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, dude, I'm sure it changed the flavor profile.
Sure.
Totally.
Well, and the texture certainly. And that's part of it. I mean, you know, the what it feels like when you take a bite of it.
I'm
too.
Sure it's sure. a gut bomb.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it could be.
The secret to every sandwich.
So we will get to another sandwich here because last week we talked to our buddy T-Gid. We talked about a boil. He's in Lafayette, Louisiana. And guess what? We're going to call him again because he does this thing called a shrimp po' boy. And they're tasty. But we want to talk to the guy who does it for real. So we're going to be going to T-Gid down in Lafayette, Louisiana. And we appreciate you listening. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, we're talking sandwiches this week. And Barbecue Bob, you reached out to our buddy again, didn't you?
That's right. We got the famous T-Gid on the line again from Lafayette, Louisiana, the maker of Extra Cajun, the Cajun Grill, Percy Guidry, all kind of stuff. What's up, Big Sexy?
Bonjour. How y'all doing?
Oh, we're good, man. We're really good.
I was telling the guys here in putting together the show plan, I did a deep dive into Anthony Bourdain, and he was showing some nice pictures of a lobster roll, and I thought, man, we got to get T-Gid on to do a shrimp roll. And that's what's on the plan.
A po' boy, because I'll relate.
Or poor boy, yeah.
Well, I was about to say, kiss this out roll, man. We call them po' boys down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I flashed back to Maine for just a second. I was up in Bahaba.
Yeah, them po' boys are huge down here, man. Yeah. Whether it's, you know, shrimp or fried soft shell crab. I mean, you know, you got all different kinds.
Your brother Greg took me to a little market that was kind of a store.
Old time grocery.
Yeah.
They got some of the best.
Oh, those were so great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they make the sandwich right at the grocery? Oh, yeah.
There was a line of people, and half of them were strapped.
Yeah. Well, it's right there by the college, so they're all a little crazy. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, right now is a good time to be strapped if you're by a college.
Football always starts with a good piece of bread, you know, and they get theirs from a place called Longlinet's Bread. It's an old, like probably 100-year-old bakery, baked fresh every day, and it's just a, you know, some people call it a hoagie bun. We call it French bread.
Right.
Got a nice crust on the outside, but so moist and tender on the inside. You got to start with a good piece of bread.
They could name that after you, Bob. Crusty on the outside, moist and tender on the
soft
inside.
On the inside. And moist.
Soft around the middle is more like it.
Yeah, we're going to call Bob the Tipo Boy.
Right, yeah.
You wouldn't be wrong.
It'd be his new license plate on his truck. But anyway, so they start with this great roll, and I'm sure that somebody's been making them for 100 years. They're pretty damn tasty.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of my favorites besides Old Time, we have another place called Chris's Po' Boy, and you know, their signature move is instead of putting lettuce as a condiment in there, they put cabbage, and I'm telling you, it sounds unusual.
Oh yeah,
but just shredded cabbage with a nice Swiss cheese melted over some beautiful Gulf shrimp.
Yes,
with a little mayo and tomato. It is amazing. It's me and my wife's favorite po' boy.
Your but best shrimp
time is a good one too.
Your best shrimp tacos have cabbage on them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, it's just something about that extra crunch.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have a heavy flavor, but it's just, I think it's just the crunch of it. It's just amazing. And but I was watching a video, you know, we just had the Jazz Fest and the Festival International. New Orleans and Lafayette had their two huge festivals, and saw a local celebrity post a video on Facebook, and he was down there, and they did a fried soft shell crab po' boy, which you don't see very often. But let me tell you, it had me salivating. I mean, there's nothing better than a great soft shell crab fried or.
And if you've never had one, you've got to try one, because it's. It'll change your eating experience. It's
you eat everything. Everybody's like, well, you eat the shell. Well, the shell is soft.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically it's definitely edible. But It's just something about it. It's just, and you talk about make a good po' boy. Pooh, and fried oysters. Come on, man.
Yeah. Wow. See, these things up north here that, that people don't know a lot about. So let's talk about the shrimp. What do you, the shrimp that's in the po' boy? How are those prepared? I mean, is it a complex thing or is it pretty simple? What's that look like?
Nah, it's pretty simple. You know, like when we go to Christmas, my wife, you know, they'll ask you, do you want fried shrimp or do you want grilled shrimp? And my wife, you know, because she's her health conscious, you know, she likes the grilled shrimp. And, of course, I like everything fried, you know.
Right.
But it's just basically taking a beautiful shrimp. They devein it, butterfly it, so to speak. They batter it. It's not cornmeal. It's more of a flour.
Mm-hmm.
They deep fry it in just regular peanut oil and to a golden brown, and they just place it on the bun and put that whatever your favorite cheese is. We like Swiss. We like that buttery flavor.
Mm-hmm.
It makes for a really great po' boy.
Wow, that sounds good. I'm salivating right now. Listen,
you take
to
a beautiful shrimp, who wasn't hurting you.
Right.
They got more in the sea, bro.
Right, yeah. Sea's full of them. You can just have your share.
So you shell and devein, then boil or fry or grill?
That's it. I mean, you don't really see a whole lot of boiled shrimp po' boys. It's not more or less a grilled shrimp.
Okay.
Or fried. And of course, if you're going to grill or fry them, you got to season it with extra Cajun, baby, because there's nothing better.
Right. Yeah, I would concur. Yeah, absolutely. And so it's just put together and it's served hot. Do they? Is there a traditional side that goes with it, or are you just eating the sandwich?
Oh no! I mean, again, it depends on
fries.
Which place you stop in at. I mean, Chris's, they got these wedge cut beautiful potato skins. They deep fry them in the lard, so the flavor is just so delicious. And actually, Old Time Grocery, when they serve it, it's a bowl of hand-cut potato skins,
nice.
Wedged out, and they fry them as well. So that's the best, you know.
Yeah.
A couple of bites of the po' boy, a couple of French fries, a little hot sauce and ketchup, mayonnaise. You're in hog heaven.
Yeah, he says.
Praise
yeah.
the Lord.
Right, exactly.
Praise the Lord.
That's exactly what we do. Why not?
So you deep fry it in lard. I've never tried that. I mean, I'm sure I've eaten it. But I've never tried it.
Well,
done it's,
a,
it myself.
It's a completely different flavor than the peanut
it is.
Oil.
It is a molecular ayayay thing going on in that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can't get it everywhere, and you have to buy lard in a block.
Oh,
don't you?
Yeah. Every butcher sells it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can get it down here. You know, when they have a boucherie, you know, somebody slaughters their hog. You know, they normally use everything. They make hog head cheese. They boil down the cracklings and they strain all the oil from the cracklings and they put it in a big stainless steel tin can. And once it coagulates and solidifies, basically when you go to fry, you just take a couple of big heaping spoons, put it in a cast iron pot, heat it up, and it renders down to basically an oil. And there's nothing better.
Little word of warning, if you're trying hoghead cheese for the first time, don't look at it because it's not really cheese.
Yeah.
There might be some eyeballs looking back at you.
They make ponche. You know, they take the stomach and they stuff it with sausage, and then you can pot fry that. And, you know, make some onions and gravy, and they eat everything. The intestines, they use that to make the boudin. You know, the skin.
Yeah. Well. All of our listeners eat all that stuff, too. They just didn't know where it came from.
Yeah. Now they know.
Yeah. Back to the sandwich, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so we got a couple minutes left, T-Gid. Other than the shrimp po' boy, you got another classic Cajun sandwich you could tell us about?
Well, I mean, you know, it just depends on what part of Louisiana you're in. You know, down in New Orleans, they're known for their muffaladas, you know, which is, you know, nice sliced, you know, sandwich meat, you know, pastrami, salami, ham, you know, the whole thing. But the secret is the olive mix, you know.
Right.
You get it by the jar and they put that olive mix on it. And that's huge. Muffaladas.
Roasted red peppers.
Yeah, it's got a little, that's a little briny usually. Yep. And gives you that
olive oil.
Yeah.
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 And they do generally use like a big Kaiser bun, don't they?
They do.
Yeah.
They do. Yeah, and you know, as you come down I-10 more heading west, you know, you get to Baton Rouge. I don't know what they do in Baton Rouge. But then you keep going a little further than you in Lafayette. And, you know, again, you got oyster po' boys. You got shrimp po' boys. You got fried crab, soft shell crab po' boys. I mean, you name it.
Hey, we got to run, but I know what they do in Baton Rouge. They raise your taxes.
Yeah, that's what they do. You're right. Hey, but we got a good governor, Jeff Landry. He's pretty – he's the real deal, man. He's going to straighten a lot of stuff out.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Hey, this is T. Gidd from Percy Gidry Company, Extra Cajun, and the man. Thanks for joining us today.
I love you guys, man.
I love you too, buddy.
Take care.
Y'all be cool.
All right. See ya.
All right.
Coming up next, we're going to keep going with the sandwich. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitt full. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. You know, Bob, every time we call T. Gidd, and we've done it now 2 weeks in a row, I'm just amazed at the depth of that guy's knowledge. I mean, you could throw anything out there. I threw him a little curveball at the end and say, what other sandwiches out there? Bam, he started rattling them off like crazy. He's just a pro, and it's fun to talk to him. It's fun to have him as part of our show.
Well, his daddy and his pappy, that whole family, the dads did all the cooking. So his grandpa invented the Cajun grill, and his dad manufactured it. And those guys, every outing, you see old pictures of their family. Every outing they did, it was the grandpa and his dad. They were at the grill. They were feeding everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like you and I,
right?
That's what our kids will look back on someday and say, oh, all these pictures, you know?
Right. Yeah. All they ever did was cook for people. Well, that's good, because I still live by this, that people are happy when they're eating. If they're eating good food, they're really happy. Yeah. And that's my little tip for the day is if you're going to take the time to do something, do it right.
So back to the Anthony Bourdain thing, the other thing he was showing off was a roasted garlic head. And I forgot how much I like doing that. And that's basically you take a whole head of garlic, you flip it up so the roots are up, and you take a really sharp knife and you just shave off the first 10% of it so that the bulb is exposed.
Right.
And I use muffin tins, and I'll throw them in the oven or in the smoker if I'm smoking anything, and I'll roast a bunch of those. And when they come out and they're hot, you just tip them upside down and you squeeze them, and they'll plop right out of there. Or you can serve it to your guests, the whole thing, because when you roast that thing, if you're doing steaks,
right,
you put one of those on the plate with it, and they start spooning that out. It's like bone marrow. It's right. The same thing. It's just a wonderful treat that nobody ever thinks to do. And I'm encouraging you just to try it. And, you know, it's like Jop just said, people are happy when they're eating. Well, you know, they came to your house because they're happy to see you. Show them, you know, a little bit of extra thought.
So if you're sitting there listening to this and you're cringing like, oh my gosh, I couldn't eat garlic cloves one right after the
other. You can.
When you smoke them like that, and generally you might drizzle a little olive oil on
there. Yes.
It softens them first, but secondly, it mellows them. They aren't
totally
that
different.
Pungent.
Totally
it's totally
different.
Different flavor when you've roasted a garlic head like that. And it is a great presentation because it's something you don't see on a plate very often.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're about the size of a golf ball, and they're just sitting there.
Yeah.
And people, when you serve that, they kind of look at it, and they look away, and they're looking to see what anybody else is doing with it because they've never had
and
one put on their plate
before. And if they're warm right out of the oven,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You just grab the tail end of it, turn it upside down so the cut end is there, and then just kind of squeeze it like a tube of toothpaste, and
right.
they'll all just plop out on the plate and
right.
start swimming.
Right, and then you can take one, because they're cooked, you can mash it on the plate, or even rub it across the top of your steak and mash it that way, and then you get a little bit of it with every bite.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it is garlic, but oh.
Yeah, it's so very, good. Very mild. There's plenty of vegetables and fruits that do that. You
right.
know, I think of a beet. You always say you don't like beets, but I'll tell you what, if you ever roast one in the skin and eat it,
yep.
you'll be shocked at how flavorful that thing is. Totally different than you
when
know.
It's raw.
Yeah.
Yep, yeah. exactly.
A rutabaggie is the same way.
Is
and
it?
Every good pasty needs a rutabaggie.
Yeah. Oh, how about a sandwich?
Well, that's... Pasty's a sandwich.
Pasty's a sandwich. Yeah, a little ketchup on it. You got to have some ketchup on your pasty.
I'm not sure. I might have some gravy on mine.
Conrad. Oh, Conrad's. He's
red
pressing
neck.
All the buttons. that's really funny. I was somewhere recently. I was on my way back from picking up my cow last week.
Okay.
And I was in this little outback nowhere, and I'm cruising down 46. And I saw a sign that said pasties, and it said open. I'm like, hit the brakes, wheeled in. And, you know, I'm trying not to do potatoes and bread and all that stuff right now, but I'm hungry.
So you wheeled in.
I'm hungry
right.
as heck.
There's only three ingredients in a pasty, and two of them are potatoes
and
bread.
They had a few more. Now, this place in particular, I'd like to go back and give him some lessons because he was a young kid.
Oh,
he's making a few mistakes.
Okay.
But the crust was gorgeous. So I took one bite and said, yeah, not for me. So I took it home to my wife, and she loved it because she loved the crust.
Yeah.
She left half the other
stuff. Component
part.
Yeah.
But see, some people make a pasty like that, and they cook the potatoes and meat and then put it in dough, and you can't do that. We had them on Mackinac Island, and as soon as you cut into it, the thing just fell apart.
Yeah.
A pasty is supposed to congeal.
Right.
You know?
Yep. You cut it open, it'll stand on its own.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Like Vicky's in Saranac.
Yep. Great place.
So, Then I started digging through this same magazine, and it had a cuisine from Montevideo, Uruguay. And the sandwich this guy had was called...
is it the Chivito?
Yeah. My ink didn't work. I'm sorry. Thank you for pulling me out. It's a Chivito, and it is shaved ribeye.
Chivite?
They cook the shvit out of it.
Yes.
It's shaved ribeye, and again...
Okay, you're starting good.
Stacked high. They've got a Kaiser roll, which always makes for a great presentation. Dijon mustard, and
some Dukes?
Thinly sliced mortadella.
What is that? Mortadella. Is it cheese?
What did we just do?
Oh, the mortadella is the bologna thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sorry, wasn't paying attention there. Had a lapse.
So you make this giant sandwich. You know, you got prime rib and mortadella and cheese and Dijon, some mayo, maybe some roasted garlic, whatever you want to throw in there. Pickled onions would be good.
Yeah.
So that was another sandwich that I was very cool. Shaved prime rib. I mean, shaved ribeye, I should say.
Right.
You can find it everywhere. You can even get it frozen at Sobey.
Right.
He buys it prepackaged.
Yep.
And
the reason it's good is that you don't need to cook it much. It goes quick. And secondly, it piles up real nice. I mean,
it's gorgeous.
It's awesome for a sandwich.
When I had that kitchen, I bought it once for a gig you and I did somewhere.
Yep.
And I ended up with a bunch of it. And I tried some Philly beefs out of it. Now, it didn't work out as good as the brisket. Flat River Philly.
Right.
But it was still a real nice experiment for me because I had never really worked with a thinly sliced steak like that.
Right.
And when you got a great big griddle,
right.
it's real easy just to throw a bunch of meat around.
Yeah.
I'm not used to that.
And shaved, it's it's not paper thin, but
ish.
Maybe the thickness of a credit card is what that beef
it's
is.
It's as thin as you can slice beef, I'd say.
Right. Yep. But what it does is when it cooks, it kind of curls up and it draws together a little bit. And so you get texture.
Medium rare is all you want to go with it. You don't want to leave it on very long because it'll toughen up.
And you get depth and texture, little air pockets in there that hold the mustard and the mayo.
You put some Swiss on it or some provolone.
Yeah.
If you ever have aged provolone?
Yes.
Oh.
So good.
That is
yep. so
one
good.
Of my favorite cheeses. Yep. But I like
cheese is a big part of a sandwich in my world.
So another big sandwich when I had that kitchen was the Flat River Philly, and I want to run through that real quick because this is easy for all you grilling guys.
It was super popular.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I still get people asking me for it. Don't have a kitchen anymore. But basically, if you have any leftover
brisket.
Brisket, thank you. And if you have leftover brisket, it's because two things. You either made too much or it wasn't that good.
Right.
So you slice up some brisket. You get some of these nice big – he was talking about those po' boy rolls. Well, the Schnitz Deli Bakery,
Bakery
makes those for me and you. And they call them a French roll, which Tegid did. And that is like the perfect – if you want to really wow people with a killer Philly beef or a Flat River Philly, go down and get some of those. You might have to order them because they don't make that many every day, but it's the Schnitz Deli on Fulton if you're in the Grand Rapids area. Otherwise, any of your local bakeries could probably make them up for you. But you basically put a little, you make up some compound butter, garlic butter, and you butter that roll and you flip it over and put it on your griddle. You warm it up. In the meantime, you take your brisket. And you put some, I used mozzarella and cheddar, shredded. And I put those down. And then I would also saute some green pepper and onion at the same time. And by the time you flip that bun over, you're taking that onion and pepper mix, and then you're scooping up that big pile of meat and cheese and putting it on top. You bring it out to give it to somebody, and I'll tell you what, you got a friend for life.
Yeah, you do. That is, and you can make those. If you've got one of those Blackstone grills at home, perfect sandwich for that.
Yeah,
perfect
even a big fry pan will
right,
do it.
Yep, exactly. But hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We actually did cover a few sandwiches, so I'm proud of us today.
Gosh.
We kind of hit the show plan a little bit. But Conrad, we appreciate you stepping up and keeping us sounding good.
Yeah, and don't forget to hit the grillingguys.com and check out our sponsors on the right-hand side, all right? Click those links.
Yep.
Give them some love. Keeps us on the air. See ya.